thank you for joining us today. We are actually winding down with Redemption Story, and we really are praying that it is a blessing for you as you are in God's Word and you're discovering how the Spirit of the living Christ speaks to you while you are not only reading, but as you write down a scripture, as you write an observation down. I know for me, I found that as I start writing an observation down, the Spirit seems to be talking to me. What I start out writing, it changes along the way because I'm discovering things in the Lord even as I am journaling. And while we're coming to a closing of it this week and then next week, it's really our prayer that you will continue a life of going after and growing in your relationship with Jesus. This is so much more than just a religious activity. In fact, we often start out talking about the Christ life, which is a big part of what we're going to talk about today. As we move into the book of Acts, and we kind of give somewhat of an overview and, you know, pull out a few stories from the book of Acts. Of course, you know, in your Bible, it probably says it's the Acts of the Apostles. But here's the thing. They lived the Christ life. They wanted to be part and partnered with God in his activity, in the things that he was doing in their day, just as he wants you and I to join with and to partner with him on a daily basis to really do the activity that he's already doing, stepping into the moments. In fact, you know, we live in a day where it seems like there's just a million different denominations out there, a lot of ideas and beliefs of how to approach the Christian walk. And we certainly don't step up and say ours is the right and only way. But what we do want you to take away with is it's not the way someone does church. It's not out of a place of a belief system that says this is the way ministry is done. If you were raised Catholic, your idea of ministry is going into the church and seeing the priest come and moving the incense and doing the different activities. If you were raised Pentecostal and you were in a church where it was normal to, you know, you stood up 15 times and sat down 15 times and clapped and raised your hands and you did just a different religious activity. As we look at the model of ministry and this overview of the book of Acts, there's really one prevailing principle that we want you to take home. And it's simply this. The model of ministry isn't a system. It's not a way you do. It's just A, B, C, D. It's not a system. It's a someone. It's about the life and the activity of Jesus Christ. As the book of Acts unfolds, you do find that the life of Jesus is made known everywhere, every day, with everyone that they came across. And a big part of that dynamic of ministry has left the American church. It's maybe you can even say in the Northern Hemisphere. It's left because we've systematized the way ministry is done. You do church this way, and inside the church you do this way, and you do nursery this way, and children's church that way. And we've actually crowded out the life of Jesus in an everyday. So if you were to ask somebody, what's your ministry? Oftentimes they'll say, I'm a worship leader, or I do this, or I do that. But Jesus' idea of ministry is what is done in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So the name of Jesus Christ might be made known. So more and more people will not just become aware of the name of Jesus, but they'll step into the life of Jesus and they'll begin to express the Spirit life every day. And so we really believe that really the life of Christ is a Spirit-led life, and that's the book of Acts. And that's kind of really where we're going to delve into a bit today.
It is indeed. And that's the reality that we're not really apologizing for in any way. And we're not challenging everybody's systems. We're not saying, you know, anti-Catholic, pro-Catholic, anti-Pentecostal, pro-Pentecostal, anti-anybody's any way of doing things. What we are clearly not just suggesting, but observing is when you read through the book of the activity of the Holy Spirit in the early believers, it's the only history that is actually included in the canon of Scripture, that is included in what is accepted as the inspired Word of God. And it is the only history then that has that stamp, that mark of God's favor upon it, And it's this history of the early church. And nowhere do you find meetings and gatherings where people decide, you know, what kind of a series of sermons they're going to preach, or who's going to lead worship on a Sunday, or, you know, what kind of things are going to be provided for the children's ministry areas or the youth ministry areas. None of that is to be found in the book of Acts, because really, this model of ministry is not a something, it is a someone. And that someone is the living Lord Jesus Christ, the risen, glorified Lord, who has gone away into heaven and then poured out the Spirit of the Lord. He said it this way, that the good thing for you, and this is from John 16, the good thing for you as my followers, as believers in me, is that I'm going away. Because if I don't go away, then the Comforter doesn't come to you. The Holy Spirit empowering you like he does me is not going to happen for you. It's predicated on my going away, because when I go away, then he speaks of Father and Son, are going to give you this Holy Spirit. And Jesus, even way back to the ministry of John the Baptist proclaims about Jesus that he is going to take away the sin of the world, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. And so this is the reality of the book of Acts. This is the activity that God is working into and through people who are living and moving in the Christ life. The very, very same way that Jesus did ministry is the way that God has called you and I to do ministry. And Jesus didn't lead a church. He didn't pastor a group of people. He didn't even lead what we would effectively call a small group that meets every week at a certain place. He didn't. He lived life in the context of a living, vital, Holy Spirit-fed relationship with the Father. This is what he said of his own ministry. I do what I do because I see the Father doing it. If the Father doesn't do it, the Son doesn't have power. I'm not winging it. I'm not out here hoping that all the activity that I engage in will somehow meet the approval of God. No, no, no. I'm not on my own. I am seeing him by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm seeing what he's doing right here, right now. And I know what he has done. I know what he will do. And I know what he's doing right this minute. This is the kind of the model of ministry that Jesus lived and moved in. And it is clearly the model of ministry that the book of Acts kind of by default lays out. It doesn't say, you know, there's a pathway to follow. You gotta go learn this and then go get this credential and then go get this job and go get this paycheck and get this level of somebody else's approval. No, he says you've got to get into this living, vital, learning, growing relationship with me. I love the way Luke puts it in the book of Acts when he begins to write about what he's writing here. It's a companion piece to the Gospel of Luke. And so Luke writes his gospel, and he also writes this book of Acts. It's a substantial thing. It's really well if you read them together sometime. But in the book of Acts, he says, I wrote a former letter to you, Theophilus, which would be the Gospel of Luke, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. I love that phrase. Because this is the presumption. This is what Jesus began to do and teach. Now, he's not done. He's still doing. He's still teaching. One of the things we believe, one of our primary kind of statements of faith in the Christ life, is that Jesus is alive and well. He's actively working in the earth to advance the kingdom of God. He is building his church. But the way he's doing it is through Holy Spirit-empowered disciples like us. We are people who are engaging with God and following this model of ministry. And lest you think it sounds complicated, it's really not. It's just being able to see and to discern and to participate in what God is actually doing in the moment, where you see what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because when you see that, you can call attention to this. And this is the substance of the miracles, and we'll talk about them. We'll actually get into a couple of stories, but it's the entire record of the book of Acts. You can pick pretty much any chapter that you want to, and you're going to find this happening. And when someone sees what God is is doing in the moment, when they speak out about what God is doing, when there is a word that is then confirmed with these signs and these wonders, then everybody standing around just asks, you know, well, what was that? And you have then a chance, the believer has a chance to speak up and say, hey, this is just the activity of God in the earth. This is the work of the Holy Spirit proving that Jesus Christ is alive and well and operating in the earth. And oh, by the way, let me tell you what he's done. And you have a platform now to speak of Jesus giving himself, the Father sending the Son to take away the sins of the world, the Son giving himself to this complete obedience, the Son giving himself to the death of the cross, and the Father being satisfied with the offering of the Son. So he's raised up from the dead and ascended into the heavens and now pours out this Holy Spirit because this is what he's done. But we also have a chance then to speak about what he's doing, yeah. what he's going to do, I should say, the future tempts kind of things, because this king who has come is coming again.
Right.
You know, this isn't the end of all this. In fact, this is the importance of this is to get you ready for that.
Yeah.
And so we get a chance to do this. And this is what happens all throughout the book of Acts. This is the kind of the model of ministry, how it flows. And it's all via this interactivity with the living Spirit of God. There's the good thing that Jesus said, it's a good deal for you that I'm going away.
Yeah.
This is better than just inviting people to come see what Jesus does. I get to participate in this one.
And that is certainly difficult for people to, in our culture, to really grasp. They think the idea of ministry is for someone else. It's for the person that is ordained. It's for the person who's went to Bible school. It's for this person or that person. But when you really begin to understand, as the Spirit reveals to you what he's done, it changes the way you see yourself in redemption story. It begins to change. And there's a whole nother part of that, I think, that oftentimes keeps people from stepping in to the kind of vibrant, full life ministry that, you know, where Jesus shows up and shows off, is the fact that we think that the idea of the Holy Spirit and the Jesus being in our life is about making our life better. But when you really get into Scripture and see what Jesus has done, it changes that theology. Here's my example, I think, in this. As you read, as Jesus is doing miracles, John the Baptist has been thrown in jail. And John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. Jesus loves John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, while he had previously pointed out, there's the Lamb of God, is now sending his disciples to Jesus and saying, is this the Messiah? Because John still has this idea of what Jesus is going to do. And certainly, we don't know this for certain, but he's not want to sit in jail. And he's running in a time where he's sending his disciples to go look for Jesus. And so when the disciples find Jesus, Jesus doesn't stop everything and say, oh, no, we're just going to go get John out of jail. John doesn't get out of jail. John loses his head in jail. But what Jesus does say is he says, you go tell them the things that you're seeing, that the sick are healed, that the blind see, that those that are poor are having the good news preached to them. Yes. Now, because Jesus was focused on his Father's kingdom. And so when we begin to make that shift and we begin to get focused on the things that the Heavenly Father is focused upon, then all of a sudden, now things begin to change. Now you're looking for opportunities to be part and partner with the Spirit in what he is doing on a day-to-day basis. Now, it doesn't mean that every day you're going to see a miracle. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, but it begins to change your perspective. It begins to change your approach to life as a whole. Now, when you come to a church on Sunday morning, you're looking for an opportunity to minister to somebody else. You're not looking for the perfect music and you're not looking for the perfect sermon. You're looking for an opportunity to minister the Lord's grace to people that is around you. And so as you find in the book of Acts, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The church grows. And then we're brought to this moment where Peter and John, they're heading to the temple. It's just part of their everyday life. And there's a guy that is lame. He's crippled there. And he's not just showed up one day. He was probably there when Jesus was there as well. And as they're going, all of a sudden, gets to be this holy hunch. There's something that stops them, even though the guy probably begged every day they walked by. He's asking for money. But now Peter looks upon him. And in this moment, there's this activity of the Spirit that now he's going to step into. because he's now not living a life unto himself. He's living a life unto the Lord. Yeah. And he looks at him, and certainly he's recognized the things that Jesus has done in the past. And something, I believe it's the Holy Spirit, is quickening him to recognize that Jesus is making himself known with this guy. So he looks at him, he says, you know, we don't have money, but what we have, we give you. Rise and walk. And as this is taking place, certainly he's known what Jesus has done before when they brought the mat down before him in the house, Jesus said, rise and walk. He knew what Jesus's activity was, and now he saw Jesus' activity in this man. And so he's partners with, and all of a sudden, people start going, what is this? What's going on? There's this great miracle. Now a platform has been given because of the miracle for him to be able to share Jesus. And people all of a sudden start coming to start following Jesus themselves. They want to know and they want to grow in the Christ life. Of course, it gets the attention of those who don't like it either. So they're hauled in before the religious court of the day. And actually, you get into chapter 4, it says this worked, because this is ultimately what they're able to speak because of what the Spirit has done. And he says this, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. He's pointing them all the way back to the Old Testament. The builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no one other, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so he brings them right back now to the place of salvation. It's a polarizing moment where they have to choose to believe the words based on the miracle that was done. They now are forced because their future is going to depend on that moment of decision. But it really started with this moment where the Spirit with Peter had recognized what had already done and then what he will do. Yeah. So it gave the moment in that moment what he is doing.
Exactly. And this is the exact same composite pieces, if you will, that marked the ministry of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so this is why they can say, this is just Jesus. This is not a different Jesus. This is not, oh, Peter's, you know, uber holy, or John's uber holy, or, you know, we're these mighty power of God people. No. Others would say that of them, but they never said that of themselves. They just basically said the reality of this miraculous empowerment is because Christ is raised from the dead. He's conquered death and hell and the grave. He is raised up from the dead. He's ascended into the heavens. He's poured out the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, he's coming again. He came to set you free from your sins. He came so that you could have this Christ life right here, right now, but that this could carry you into this glorious eternal reality of God's plan for your life. And so they would, on the basis of what he was doing in the moment, they would preach what Christ had done and what Christ is going to do. And so this is the reality all through the book of Acts. There's in the birthing of the church on the day of Pentecost, it was a similar kind of thing. There, this tremendous, miraculous enablement was given to 120 believers. Again, not just one person preaching a sermon, but 120 believers filled with the Spirit of God, speaking languages that they've never learned, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, participating in this miraculous enablement to the both delight and chagrin of the crowd. The ones who understood the language and heard them speaking about the marvelous works of God said, wow, that is just amazing. God is alive and well. And the people who didn't understand and didn't want to understand said, these men are drunken, crazy people, you know, and so they reacted differently. But the reality is that this is how the work of God goes on. And so it's not about a church service. It's not about the model of ministry. It's not about how you baptize. It's not about, you know, how many songs you sing and whether you sing out of a hymnal or whether you sing choruses. It's none of those things. It is a Holy Spirit empowered Christ life relationship with God. And we say it so many times that we know we're wearing you out, but we hope we're inspiring you as well to believe that God has called you to be part and partner with him. You don't have to run the show, but you get to be a partner in this. You get to see what God is doing because the Holy Spirit enables you to see it. And when you see it, you can speak these things into being. And I'm sure, you know, Peter and John were pretty much excited as well on that day. I mean, they had a clue what God was going to do, but when you see it, I mean, this guy had laid daily at the gate for years. And so, you know, effectively, this guy has no real, you know, lower limbs with muscles and all of this. So in pulling him up from the ground, not only does he leap up and stand and then begin to move around, but he grows muscles and he grows muscles that function. I mean, this is a powerful, miraculous moment. And I'm sure Peter and John don't stand there going, "Oh, we're cool. We just knew it was going to happen." Are you kidding? I think they're just about as excited as everybody else. But this is the reality. This is what God has called us to. And we pray this for every one of you. We pray, you know, no matter where you go to church, we're not asking you to change your church or, you know, crusade against it in any way. We're not proffering upon someone that everybody has to go differently. No. What we're saying is when you look in the book of Acts for the model of ministry that Christ established in the church, this is it. It's Holy Spirit empowered believers living and moving by the power of the Spirit of Christ. So it births and it builds the church, but it also births missions. And you'll find in the middle of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, the ministry has now spread into beyond just Jewish people, where they're not just preaching intentionally to Jews, but now in Antioch, there is an intentional reaching to serve and save people who are Greek or Gentile nations, various language groups. They're intentionally reaching them with the same gospel, healing the sick, delivering people from demonic bondages, letting signs and wonders be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once they're doing this, then God shows up and says, "Now this is something that I want to take everywhere." And so when you read in the book of Acts, it is the Holy Spirit who comes upon these men and praying together and celebrating what God is doing. I'm sure they're telling stories. I'm sure they're talking about, you know, we do this when we get together. Every time we have any of the groups that gather together, one of the questions is always, "So what are you hearing from God? You know, what are you hearing from God these days? What's God doing in your life? How's it working for you?" Imagine the stories these guys are telling. "Oh, this week, I got to tell you, hey, I want you to meet Fred. This is a guy that just gave his life to Christ. This is Jane. This is a gal that got healed this week." And they would tell these stories. Well, while they are praying, telling these stories, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and basically says, "I want you to take this everywhere, to everyone, every place." And so I want to separate Paul and Barnabas for this special ministry. I want you to be a part and partner in it as well, but I want you to lay hands on them. And this is how he begins to birth missions. And you know what they do? They don't go through missionary training. They don't get some special, you know, "Oh, I have to learn all the languages of all the nations." The truth is that these couple people probably have several language skills. Certainly Paul had several language skills, but when they go doing the very same thing. Yeah. They go with the miraculous power of God. So when they hit the first island and they are withstood by this guy, Paul just speaks blindness into this guy's life. I mean, literally, you know, this sorcerer, this guy who's put himself off as this powerful, you know, demonic power of what he would call the power of God. We understand the power of the devil. But Paul just basically says, you know, you're going to be blind. You, that's enough of that. And the guy right then just goes blind. Well, all the rest of the people are sitting around going, "Okay, I'm willing to listen."
Yeah.
Why? Because this is what participating in the present tense activity of the Holy Spirit does. It gives you now a chance. It builds you the platform where you don't have to preach a nifty sermon. You just have to say, "This is because Jesus is alive. And the reason Jesus is alive is because he once was dead. And he once was dead because of the sins of humankind. That's why he came, to take away the sins of humankind, to die the death. And because the Father is satisfied with the offering of the Son, he's raised him up from the dead, he's ascended into the heavens, and he's now moving and living by the power of the Holy Spirit in believers like you and me." This is the model of ministry that God has called us to. It's exciting.
It really is. I look forward to the day, and I believe it's coming. I believe as people step up and really partner with the Spirit, that there's going to be a day coming. In Acts, it talked about the persecution that came and the church scattered. But what it also says is the apostles stayed. But as the church was scattered, they preached as they went.
Absolutely.
The model of ministry is a life of connectivity with the Lord, hearing what the Lord is doing. You're right. They didn't have classes. They didn't have the get ready to go. But I believe all of them understood what God had done in their life. They understood that they were in Christ, and anything that happened through Christ. They had the strength through the Lord in whom they've given their life to. They were motivated by the kingdom to come, which caused them to look for the kingdom now, what God is doing. And our prayer is that you will also start looking for the kingdom now and what God is doing in your life today.
We hope that this video has blessed you. If it has, will you hit the subscribe button below or the like button? You could also share it with your friends, or you could put a prayer request up on our prayer wall.